Tarlehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlehurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, September the 16th, 2016. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlehurstend.com. I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Dan. You all right?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks. It's been a few weeks since we've been able to speak. The international break and my holiday have got in the way. It seems a long time ago that I was staring out of this same office looking at bright, sunny skies, and now it's gone all horrible again.
Very different. Stormy night, Dan, wasn't it? Stormy night last
absolutely,
night.
Absolutely. But, you know, the last time it was stormy, Reading were going through a bit of a rough patch, but this time it's stormy and we're all right. We're on a nice little run. Since that, since the last show, we've picked up 7 points from 3 games, a decent haul by any standards. Just before we get into those games over Cardiff, Ipswich and Birmingham, I just wanted to quickly get your thoughts, because as mentioned, it was before deadline day we spoke last time. Nothing ended up happening in the end for Reading. Did that surprise you at all? Do you think Yapstam's got enough?
No, I think they're a striker short. There's one sort of piece of jigsaw missing. And, you know, and they're disappointed. They wanted to get a striker off. So we had the Guillaume. It turned into a soap opera in the end, didn't it? Which tends to be the way with players like that. Pulled the plug on that one, didn't happen, and they were still trying to get someone in on deadline day and tried, got close to a couple, but didn't for whatever reason get the deals done. And yeah, I think everyone knows, we know, the rest of the fans knows, Stam knows, Tevreden knows, you know, the squad probably knows that they are a striker short. It's been a good window. I think they've done a lot of decent business on a, you know, very strict budget. And put together a nice, decent-looking squad, a balanced-looking squad, but they are one striker short, no doubt about that.
Yeah, it was interesting, though, when you looked at the starting lineup against Birmingham on Tuesday, though, out of all those summer signings, I think I'm right in saying that there was only two playing in Liam Moore and Roy Behrens.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably right, isn't it? As Joey was injured.
Yeah.
Swift is, they've been wrapping in cotton wool for the last few weeks. I think he'll start on Saturday, though, which he'll be good and they need it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think, there was a lot of squad players also sort of left during the summer, wasn't it? So I think it's not a case of, it wasn't a case of just signing 11 first team regulars in the summer. It's a case of bolstering the squad and getting players in who can help throughout the season. But I think the Blackett Abita one's going to be interesting to watch who starts, who's like the regular. Without obviously Abita came back in midweek, thought he was my man in the match, thought he played really well. Actually, for once, he's got competition and knows that. And I didn't think Blackett was very impressive at all in the previous game. So it'll be interesting to see who gets that starting on the left-back role on Saturday. Yeah, Liam Moore, you know, a definite starter. I think he's been fantastic since he's come in. He's really grown into the side already. He looks a leader despite his age and will be a good signing. Joey's great. I think it's been really impressive recently. Behrens obviously coming in. So yeah, I'd say about half those signings, you'd sort of look at it and think they're going to go on and be first team regulars and you know, start pretty much every game if fit, but certainly not all of them.
No, not at all. Well, just before we roll on to those three results as well, how close did they get to making those signings on deadline day? Because we had the Jan saga, but that was kind of over the day before.
Yeah.
Was this a case of Stan was, were all the eggs in the Jan basket, or was it just a case of just not, they just couldn't get anything done?
No, I think they were close. I think the expectation was even on deadline day morning, sort of around halfway through the morning, that something was going to happen, but it didn't. It fell through, which can on deadline day. I don't know exactly who it was. Obviously, the names we mentioned, Agbon Lahore's been mentioned. I was certainly told there was no offer, whether that's, it didn't get as far as an offer, and there was interest, because certainly the sources from up in Birmingham region believe that he certainly turned down the chance to go to Reading. So there was that one, and I think Connor Washington there said there was something in that as well. I think they were sort of looking to rekindle that interest and get him in on loan, but it didn't happen. So but it was pretty clear to me, I got word around lunchtime on deadline day that things weren't, unless something amazing happened, that things weren't going to be happening. And that wasn't the word I was getting at 9 o'clock in the morning. So in between those few hours, whatever deal they were working on certainly fell through.
You had a piece up on getreading.co.uk about some of the free agents that left, because obviously the loan window is no more. That's been shut down by FIFA, so clubs can't loan players anymore unless it's an extreme circumstance, but they can sign free agents. You had a little list of some of the names, some of them slightly more grand than others. But do you think there's any chance Stan will dip into that little free agent pool? Is there any names that you could see coming in?
I mean, maybe not out of that pool, but they're certainly looking. I know they're definitely looking. I mean, I was speaking to a few people during this week again and reiterated to me that they are still looking to get something done, whether that ends up being a free agent or ends up, you know, groundwork being put in place for a January transfer. We'll have to wait and see. But they are still actively looking at the market, and they know that they need to get a striker in. That is the priority. And whether it ends up, like I say, being a free agent or it ends up being a deal that they sort of put in place now and laying the groundwork in now and so they can get it done in January, we'll have to wait and see. But I wouldn't rule out them bringing in a free transfer, whether that be, you know, someone like we were looking at
closer. Miroslav Klose, yeah, get him in.
But then why not? I mean,
I love him.
The people would have said that about Gian when they were saying no chance. But, I mean, Closer was on about $8,000 a week last season, I think, in Italy, and Gian was on $227,000 a week, and yet Reading had him in the door and without the deal actually getting placed. So there's no way I wouldn't certainly rule out someone like that. Although obviously it sounds totally unrealistic, but knowing Reading and knowing some of the contacts that they've got and the ties they've got, will probably be someone from Poland or Portugal or someone like that who's available. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if someone came in on a free transfer.
Yeah, well, goals have been a little bit of a problem, but they've still been managing to get the job done. So Jan Kermigan's last minute winner gets them a win at Cardiff. They then go and get two penalties to beat Ipswich, including another last minute goal. But then they sort of dried up and they just couldn't find the way through against Birmingham. Overall, from those three games, how happy are you with the way the squad is shaping up, with the way the team are playing? Is this a team that's destined for the top half of the table, or is it still a side that resembles that one that finished in the bottom half?
I think at the moment it's very much around the mid-table because they're looking fairly solid defensively now. I think Liam Moore's come in and I've been massively impressed with Liam Moore. I don't think in the three league games he's played, they haven't conceded a goal from open play. The only one was a penalty against Ipswich, and it just seems to have settled in really well. He's quick, and he's a leader as well. You sort of look at him, he takes a lot of responsibility on the pitch and he drives the team forward. He's got a lot of emotion in him, he's passionate, and he just ticks all the boxes for me. I think it was a long, drawn-out wait to get him, but early signs certainly are there. It was worth the wait. And so they're not shipping too many goals, and obviously the problem is they're not scoring them at the other end, so they're sort of having to grind out wins, like you said, sort of relying on a set piece, on a penalty, something like that, or on a scrap like Jan Kermigan did up at Cardiff before the international break. So I think right now, as we're looking at it, I think Reading look like a solid, decent championship team. They're not going to get torn apart because not many teams are going to have much of the ball against them. So Reading are going to certainly, at the moment, they're the possession kings of English football, basically.
And, they are.
You know, not many teams are going to be able to score too many against them if they're not going to have a ball. So I think it's looking solid, but it just keeps coming back to that fact that they're a striker short and they need to get a little bit of movement up front because Jan Kermigan, bless him, he's not the youngest striker in the box. And movement was never his forte anyway. Even when he was, you know, sort of 28, 29, he was more of a target man, almost a number 10 even, sort of playing alongside a nimble striker who can feed off him. And he hasn't got that written. He's been asked to play a role that doesn't suit him. It's not his position, never has been. And, you know, he's doing the job as well as he can. But time and time again, you know, Reading are passing it across midfield, they're getting into positions, they're getting it into the sort of wide positions, but there's no movement, no one making a dart across to the near post or making a clever run or cutting himself back and onto the edge of the box and waiting for a cutback. It's just nothing. And so it's really difficult to open teams up.
The stats sum it up. Reading have got the best possession of any team in England, but in the Championship, they've got the fourth worst average shots on target per game. And looking at the type of goals, I tweeted it the other day, Reading have only scored one proper goal from open play this season in the league. And that was Kermigan's, you know, last minute effort at Cardiff. Other than that, in the other, what is it, seven games we've played in total, it's been nothing. They've been relying on set pieces, which compared to last season, I suppose is great because we were all sat here moaning last year that we couldn't bury set pieces. So that's good that's turned around. But I said, you can't rely on those for too long because teams will figure it out.
No, you can't. I think John Swift missing has been a massive loss to him as well these last three games, because you look at the games earlier on in the season when Swift were playing and Reading were creating chances with Swift up there, they just weren't taking them. He was that sort of link man between midfield and attack, and he could be the one player who could get up alongside Kermigan and feed off him. And you know, he's a clever player, Swift, and Kermigan's a clever player as well. You know, he's good with his flicks and stuff, and Swift seems to feed off that. But him being missing these last few games and sort of only coming on for cameos and a couple of them, it's really sort of hurt Reading in the creativity wise, and certainly in the spark wise. They've been lacking that spark that they had in the early games. You sort of think back to to some of those matches in the start of the season, even in the cup games as well. And they were playing decent football. And so hopefully, I'm pretty sure Swift's going to start on Saturday. All the noises coming out of Redden that I've got in the last few days is that they've sort of had him wrapped up in cotton wool within the last few weeks just to make sure that he is fully 100% over that, because they couldn't afford to throw him in and then suddenly him be missing for 6 to 8 weeks with a real serious hamstring tear. So they've wrapped him in cotton wool, but I'm pretty sure the noises, like I said, that have been coming out of Redden, that he will start on Saturday. And I think that will, hopefully you'll see more of an attacking threat because of that.
Excellent. Well, we're coming to the rest of the injury news very shortly, but just before we move on from those three games, there was a formation change against Birmingham. I wanted to get your thoughts on. There was a bit of a three at the back sort of system. I saw there was a raging debate going on Twitter as I was sat there watching the game about what exactly the formation was. But I'm sort of with you. It did look sort of three centre-backs, then a couple of wing-backs, and then your usual sort of three, a couple in front, and then the sort of front three. How did you see the formation, and did it work, more importantly?
Yeah, I thought the 3-5-2, really. I thought G-Mount was sort of in with the central midfielders. Although second half he did start playing out wide a lot more, but first half I thought Roy Behrens was kind of up playing as a central striker with Kermigan, and I thought it was good. I'm glad that, you know, it shows how much Stam and his team sort of focus on the opposition. And speaking after the game to me, he said, look, he knew they were going to be playing 4-4-2 and he wanted to try and get an extra man in midfield against that and to help them dominate possession. It's just good to see the manager being flexible and, you know, changing the way he wants to play because of the opposition. And I think Redden are well suited to playing that formation because of the fullbacks that they've got, or the wingbacks they've got, especially with a beater there as well. If he can come in, even if he's not preferred to Blackett in the 4-4-2 left back role, when you play wing backs, I think it'd be as perfectly suited to that, isn't he? And we've all seen Gunter with Wales play that formation very well with Wales. And so I think Redden are well suited to it. So I was quite happy with it. Obviously, I thought initially it was might well have been just because of the warm up injury for Joey, but it wasn't. Joey was gonna play in that role anyway, and in the centre of the two. So you'd have McShane and Moore, and then Joey was going to be the central centre back, and he was sort of, his role was going to be stepping out when he could, filling in to become another man in midfield. And you know, it's good. I liked it. I thought it was good to see Stan being flexible and sort of changing his options up just because of the opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people have complained saying, "Oh, there's no plan B," but he's showing, like you say, he's showing that he's thinking, he's prepared to be slightly flexible, and that can only benefit us in the long run. You mentioned Joe Vandenberg there, that injury in the warm-up. You said Swift is in line to start on Saturday up at Barnsley. Is Joey going to be fit to make it?
Not so sure about Joey. I mean, I saw him on Wednesday in the Forby Gardens photo shoot, and he was, you know, walking around looking fine in that. And I do, again, think it was pretty precautionary. Like, he even went out and did the warm-up himself. He'd felt it beforehand, but then he went out to do the warm-up just to see how it was. And then after discussions with the physio, he's decided best not to risk it. So I don't think it was anything too serious. But I'm not sure. If it's a hamstring, you don't want to take any risk, do you? So if it's even slightly not right, sort of sitting on a coach for 6 hours up to Barnsley today with a tight hamstring and then putting him through 90 minutes tomorrow against a very sort of mobile, quick, confident team might not be the best. So, you know, I wouldn't be able to say now for sure if he's gonna make it or not, but I do know if there is any sort of risk in him possibly aggravating it further, then they'll leave him behind. And to be fair, George Evans did well, I thought, when he dropped into that role.
Yeah, agreed.
And it'd be interesting because Barnsley, again, are very much 4-4-2. It's what they've based their success on, certainly in 2016. They sort of played a lot of different formations in the early parts of last season, struggled, then settled on a 4-4-2, and that's what led them on their great run to promotion and the great start to the season this season. So it'll be interesting to see if Stam again goes 5-3-2 again to try and counteract that 4-4-2 and get an extra man in midfield to try and dominate possession.
Yeah, a couple of other injury concerns that have been lingering for a bit longer. Dennis Rackles, we all knew, was going to be out for a significant amount of time, but there has been a slight update on that timetable for his return.
Yeah, I mean, it's next year. He's fractured ankle, so you're looking at a good sort of 4 or 5 months, unfortunately. So, you know, what, maybe February, something like that. You know, if he somehow manages to have a decent recovery, then January. But yeah, I think we have to be waiting until 2017 to see him again.
Yeah, and fingers crossed he does make a speedy and full recovery. And Yaku Mete, another forward dealing with injury concerns. He's not had the luckiest of times since arriving at Berkshire, has he?
He's not. Ankle injury at the moment, ankle ligament damage, which is keeping him out. But he's also has to be rushed into hospital and have his appendix removed. I said, that's strange. I got a tweet from a Reading fan on last week saying that they saw Mete looking extremely distressed in hospital at 2 a.m. last Thursday. And I was sort of trying, I was chasing it up, and I found out someone told me, oh, it was food poisoning, so I didn't really think much of it and didn't write a story or anything like that about it. Just a guy just suffered food poisoning. That's what they thought, and he got sent home from hospital and everything like that from it. But then again, it was all sort of flared up over the weekend. He ended up back in hospital on Monday, and they diagnosed him with appendicitis, and he had to end up having the appendix removed. So I saw he got home yesterday, so he spent the last few days in hospital, sort of recovering from the operation, and now he's home and feeling a lot better, and sort of targeting a return to action once that ankle injury is cleared up.
Yeah, any idea how long that will be on the ankle front?
I think Stan said sort of 3 or 4 weeks. It wasn't going to a case of needing an operation or anything like that. It was just rest. So I think we've got the next international break coming up about 3 weeks away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's after that.
Again, no point in rushing them through, although in saying that, their forward options are so limited as they do head up to Yorkshire. I mean, Callum Harriott came off the bench, Joseph Mendes as well, and I've still not really seen anything from Mendes yet.
No, he's struggling, isn't he, Mendes?
I didn't see the game Bristol Rovers where he got his goal in the Checkatrade trophy, but so far...
The fact that Stam's not throwing him in either for some games when they're crying out for a goal, and he's sort of leaving him on the bench till 5 minutes to go suggests that he's certainly struggling to adapt at the moment. But you know, a lot of strikers do, a lot of players do. It's a big change for some players. Some players adjust a lot quicker than others. So we saw last season that he can score goals at in a decent enough level. So I wouldn't write him off yet. Maybe it is taking a bit of time to settle, but he's clearly struggling to find his feet at the moment.
Yeah, hopefully he turns into more of a Kebe than a Monse. In terms of the strikers coming from abroad not doing so well. Then said that, I think Monse came from Hereford, so shouldn't really lump him in there. But even so, the other striker that keeps coming up, and we keep getting questions of him to the Tarlhurst End, and I'm sure you do as well in your weekly web chats, is Dominic Samuel, who, again, just doesn't... He's coming back from injury, he's been playing for the under-23s, but he just doesn't seem to be anywhere near the squad.
I know, it's. I spoke to Stan about him last week, actually, and I've got a few quotes from him that I'm going to be putting up online at some point. Again, saying, yeah, look, he's in our plans, and we've decided not to send him on loan because he's got qualities that we need. But again, I sort of got the impression that Stan wants to see him really knocking the door down to get into this team, and maybe he hasn't quite seen that yet. So, but you know, that's me. He didn't tell me that, but he just kind of got the impression what he was trying to say was, you know, he's got to perhaps maybe really show me that he wants to get in this team, and so we'll have to see. But he's still working his way back to full fitness, I think. But you know, he is around now and available to play, yet we're not seeing him, which is considering Redden is struggling so much with their striker.
I was going to say
it's not you know, we'd expect it. If he's going to get a chance, it's going to be now, and he hasn't got one yet. So
this is just it. Reading have been in an almost perpetual striker crisis for the last, you know, he broke through, made his first appearance in late 2012, and he just doesn't get a chance. And you've got to start asking, is there something going on about this guy that's making successive managers reluctant to use him? I hope it's literally nothing more than bad timing. But
Adkins certainly questioned his sort of motivation, and there was stories of him turning up late for training and stuff like that. And I know Adkins wasn't too impressed with Dom, but since then, from what I understand, he's really knuckled down and you know, he's got himself sorted. He's had good loan spells away, he's scored goals while he's been away on loan, and now you just think this is his season, isn't it? He's had his loan spells, he's back, Redden are short of strikers, surely this is his time to really get a go or be given a chance. But as yet, it's a very similar scenario for Dom, and he's not getting a look in.
No. Well, who do you think will get a look in at Barnsley tomorrow? So a trip up to South Yorkshire for this game against a team doing very well inside the top six.
Goal scorers in all four divisions in English football.
They've got two strikers, sorry, segueing there, that I would have loved to see in Reading side. Adam Armstrong on loan from Newcastle and Bradshaw from Walsall, who they were linked with perpetually last season. Joys you at the wall as a Reading fan when you can see teams like that signing proven goal scorers like that.
Armstrong,
and we don't.
Would have been. I put that out on Twitter a while back saying, look, and when Newcastle said he was going to go out on loan, I'd have been banging their door down for him. I really would have done. I thought it would have been a really handy signing. Again, pacey, really good movement. You see his goal last week, that little touch inside.
Fantastic
goal. So yeah, I'd have been banging the door down, but you know, I don't know, maybe he wanted to stay up north or whatever, and it was never really an option. But yeah, I think that's someone they should have really been been looking at Bradshaw. I don't know. He was very much a McDermott in McDermott's mind when McDermott left that. I think from what I understand, all that interest dried up. So I'm not sure they're really pushing for him this summer. And but he's scored a couple of goals, hasn't he, since he's gone to since he's gone there.
Two in his last two, I think.
Yeah, doing all right. I think he's going to start. I was just speaking to the guy up at a Barnsley Chronicle, and he thinks Bradshaw might well start on Saturday because there's a couple of injuries. Maybe Armstrong isn't going to play. I think he's got some issue that he's certainly sort of rated about 50-50 Armstrong, so he reckons Bradshaw might well start.
Yeah, I mean, but what do you expect from Reading team-wise? We mentioned, we saw that formation shift, and you sort of said they were tailoring it to a Birmingham side playing 4-4-2. Do you think we'll see that again, sort of similar team that we saw start against Birmingham, or do you think they'll make a couple of changes to try and be a bit more creative?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's Swift. I think, like I said, Swift, I think, will come in. Who makes way will be an interesting one in that. It might well, with the formation they're playing, it might well end up being Gareth McLeary. If he's going 5-3-2 again, that's just me sort of guessing, just because G's a winger, isn't he? And you sort of, when you've got Gunter on the overlap, unless, you know, he might even play McLeary as a wing back.
I wondered whether Stephen Quinn's place in the team or Danny Williams would be slightly more under threat.
I don't think Danny Williams would go. I think, yeah, Quinn, obviously. But again, Quinn is more of a central player, isn't he? I know he's, you know, he can play on the left, but sort of suited to those left central positions slightly more than GMAC is. But yeah, it could well be him. And I think, although GMAC's final ball was awful on Tuesday night, he did look fairly lively when he was on the ball and caused him some problems. Unfortunately, his delivery let him down. So it could be one. It would be one of those two. I can't see. I've seen a few people saying Danny Williams should make way, but I can't see Danny making way. I think he'll certainly play. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see who gets that left-hand defensive role. Will it be Blackett again, or will he keep a beater after what was a decent showing? But I don't think there can be wholesale changes, and it will be interesting to see the formation, considering they are going up against a very rigid 4-4-2 if he sticks with what he did in midweek.
Yeah, well, prediction time then. And since our last show, you've made a storming run up the prediction league. You are now joint top of the table with myself.
What?
Yeah, you correctly got Cardiff right and then got the results right against Ipswich and Birmingham. So it's a very tight league so far.
What did I say against Birmingham? Did I say 1-1 or something?
Yes, you did.
Did I?
There you go. Okay. So, you picked up 5 points in the last three games. So,
right.
To leave
prediction
it.
For this one, people might see that we did a new sort of preview video on our website yesterday. It's in all our Barnsley stories. And my face pops up on that with a prediction. And I sent over an email to the guy, the video guy who's putting it together, and I put 2-2 as my prediction. Yeah, in that video, mysteriously, 1-0 Reading popped up in the prediction.
Interesting.
Yes, and he did say he was going to change it, but I don't know if he did or not, or how easy that would have been to change. So this may well be me looking like I'm sitting on the fence and on the website predicting a win, and then on this prediction a draw. But I didn't. I did very much predict 2-2. And I'm going to go for that again. I'm going to say Reading are finally going to find their goal scoring boots, but aren't going to be able to keep out a free scoring Barnsley side. So I'm going for an exciting 2-2 draw.
Well, I'm also going on the draw front. I'm going for a 1-1. I will get the predictions from Johnny Westy and Handbags shortly. As I said, me and you are tied at the top with 6 points. Then Handbags has got 5, and Westy and Johnny are on 3 each. So very tight from the first 7 games. So lots.
I can't believe I'm joint top.
I know. We've only had 2 correct score lines the whole season, so that's 5 blokes from 7 games, so that's what, 35 predictions. Only twice has somebody got the actual score right. So it shows what you know and why we're all not living in nice big mansions with our gambling winnings.
Yeah.
Hashtag gamble away. Right, Charles, thank you very much. As always, you can follow Charles on Twitter @Charles_Watts, including some cracking little photos from that Forbury Gardens photo shoot.
Great, that. I really liked it. It was a really good idea. Very well done to Reading. Come up with some good creative ideas this season, doing things a little bit outside the box. And so credit to them for that. It was really nice to see the players in the town centre.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And obviously check out getreading.co.uk for all of the latest writings from Charles and the team over there. You can head over to thetilehouse.com to follow lots of fan opinion and analysis, including lots of stuff looking ahead to this game and all the reaction afterwards. Also check us out on Twitter @thetilehurstend. We'll be back with our main show hopefully early next week. As I said, apologies, I was off on holiday, so there was no show last week. I've got to try and get a crew together because everyone else seems to be off on holiday now, but we'll do our best to get a show out there. In the meantime, check out our 100th episode from a couple of weeks weeks ago. Still lots of good nuggets, quite a few interviews on there, so that's still well worth a listen. But Charles, have a fantastic weekend. Fingers crossed the weather improves, and a safe trip up to South Yorkshire.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, have a good weekend, mate. Here's to 3 points.
Fingers crossed. Cheers, Charles. Ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/the Tarlhurst End.